Session number 11763, Captain M.L. Crawford, Reel 3.
Captain Crawford, Reel 3.
Two ships, each of about 1,500 tons. Then in beginning of February, we were sent up off the tow of Italy to patrol there, and we managed to get a ship being towed there, again only a small one, just over 1,000 tons. And then in end of February, the first half of March, we were in the Gulf of Hammamet, off Sousse, and we didn't find any ships, but there was a floating crane at the entrance to Sousse Harbour, and we fired two torpedoes, one at the crane and one, hopefully, into the break in the breakwaters of the harbour. I think a certain amount of damage was done, but nothing that we could really see ourselves. And then the next patrol was northwest coast of Sicily, where again we fired four torpedoes but didn't hit anything. In April, on the north coast of Sicily, we attacked a convoy and sank a German AS escort vessel of 600 tons. We also had a long chase against an Italian U-boat which was proceeding along the coast. Although we chased it for 3 or 4 hours, we were unable to get into a position to attack it. It was being towed, so it was obviously a damaged Italian U-boat going towards Messina. Then in May and June, we spent most of our time doing special operations, putting chariots, two-man torpedo type weapons ashore on the Sicilian coast, and their aim and object was to see what the shelving of the beaches was like prior to the Sicilian operation. I'm glad to say that we managed to get these chariots back every time, part of it due to their great courage, because on one occasion the crewman, Petty Officer Smith, his suit was leaking, and so he was getting freezing cold, even though it's May in the Mediterranean, but the water was not all that warm, and he spent hours in this suit going in and coming out, but got back to us all right. These operations are not much fun from a submarine point of view. You have to take them in very close to the coast. You have to stay in that position. We normally just submerged, stopped and went down and sat on the bottom if it was shallow enough. But if you had to stay on the surface, you had to be really on the alert, because the Italians did have coastal craft which occasionally appeared from nowhere. And from a submarine point of view, they're not very pleasant operations. But we did these beach reconnaissances and managed to get the chaps back, which was a great thing. Then in July, we took a fall boat east, as well as a marker beacon to mark one of the beaches on the east coast of Sicily for the invasion of Sicily, Operation Husky. It was we were there a day before so we could establish our position and make certain we dropped the marker in exactly the right position. The marker was a beacon which transmitted a sonar signal so that the leading ships could home in on it to come into the beach. The night of the actual invasion, we disembarked our fall boat. The weather was not very nice. He had loaded himself with all sorts of grenades and quite heavy equipment and was off to the beach to act as a sort of beach master and guide in there. Sadly, the one we landed didn't make it. And if they did capsize in the water, he would have gone straight to the bottom because he was really loaded with stuff. We then sat on the surface near our marker and saw this vast array of shipping on the horizon as it came in to make the landing. Having sighted this convoy, I said, well, I'm going down below for a cup of cocoa. So I went there and I told them, call me as soon as anything happens. I went down. I'd just had a bout of sandfly fever before the operation in Malta, but I was determined to do this operation. So I went down, had my cup of cocoa, and put my feet up on the settee, and literally went out. And when I was called, it was daylight. The operation had gone ahead very peacefully. No problem from our point of view. All we had to do was make certain that anybody who came near us knew that we were a friendly submarine. And as soon as it was possible, we were given an escort to take us back through the convoys and so back to Malta. From the position of the submarine, really we saw very little of it apart from this vast array of ships. Then after the Sicilian invasion, we were then sent on another special operation up the east coast of the toe of Italy, where our object was to land people, but not to attack necessarily. But we did see a cruiser, and I'm sad to say that I fired four torpedoes at it and missed. But it was a mine-laying cruiser, and we were able to watch them lay mines, and so we were able to report the position of the minefield fairly accurately. At the end of August, we were sent into the Adriatic off Bari, and this was really the first normal patrol that I'd done for nearly 4 months. I had one unsuccessful attack, and then once again we saw a small ship, and I fired that, which was successful, 1,000 tons again. And we rescued four survivors and brought them back to Malta. Then off we crossed to the east side of the Adriatic and were off Valona, I think it is, in Albania. And we saw an AS, Italian AS schooner, a sailing schooner. And we surfaced to take this on with a gun. And once again, my experience with the submarine gun was rather depressing, because the first round jammed in the gun, and so we had to use our Lewis guns from the bridge to scare the crew of this small air schooner. Unfortunately, they were scared, although I could see the traces were going way over the top of the mast of the schooner. But they took to the water, and we went alongside and put a demolition charge and sank it and recovered a couple of chaps, by which time the shore batteries from Valona were opening up on us. So we got out of it as quick as we could.
You mentioned picking up those survivors. What was the policy which was given to you about mercy acts like that?
I don't know that we had any direct policy given to us. I mean, I think where one could, if there was any benefit, one would recover survivors. The ship we sank in the middle of the Adriatic, that 1,000-ton ship, we actually saw that they'd taken to a raft, and we did surface and I think gave them a bottle of whiskey and a few medical supplies, because, I mean, they weren't very far from their own shore. It was flat calm. And they'd had a ship with them who just left them. So, you know, we felt, didn't feel we had to do very much there, because they knew where they were. But we took a couple just for interest's sake, really, and see if we could get any intelligence out of them. But there's not much room in a U-class submarine for embarking extra people. So one doesn't do it as a matter of course, particularly if there are any defensive ships around, any air ships around. Then in September, we were sent to, we first of all seen, I think, the Italian fleet surrender and come in and anchor off under the guns of Malta, I think, as Admiral Cunningham reported to the ministry. Actually, we joked about it and said, oh, there go all our targets. But it was very nice to see that. And then immediately after that, we sailed and were sent on patrol to the east coast of Corsica, between Corsica and Leghorn, I think, or a port they used on the Italian coast to intercept convoys there. And there we sighted a convoy and managed to sink a couple of ships, one of 3,800 and the other of 2,600 tons. And interestingly enough, a few years ago, I got a letter from a German who was on board one of these ships and told us about it, told me about it.
Do you remember what he said?
Well, he just said he'd just found out that Unseen was the ship that had torpedoed them, and that he was one of the survivors and would be interested to meet me. He'd been over to see the submarine museum in Gosport, and But I haven't. I wrote back to him, but I haven't seen him since, or I haven't met him rather. After that betrayal of Corsica, we were sent back to Algiers. And then the next patrol we did from Algiers was up off the south coast of France, where we saw very little, but a couple of F-lighters were going along the coast, and these are a very shallow draft, rather like our old tank landing craft. I managed to hit one of those, which went down, and the other one beached, and I fired a torpedo in at the beach, which I don't think actually hit it, but went off fairly nearby. But that's all we saw up there. We then returned to Malta from there, and then I was sent out on our last patrol from Malta up into the south coast of France, where the only sighting we had was a very empty small convoy at very long range, and so we couldn't get into a firing range. And we also later saw a small escort vessel in rather bad weather, and I think we must have showed rather too much of ourselves, and he came in and gave us a very heavy depth charging as a finale to our time in the Mediterranean. Again, fortunately, we suffered no great damage. And on this, at the end of this patrol, we returned to Maddalena. The Malta squadron flotilla moved up to Maddalena.
Where is that?
The island between Corsica and Sardinia in the Bonifacio Straits. It had been an Italian base. But I was literally, we got in there on the 27th of December, and I sailed for the UK on the 1st of January via Algiers and Gibraltar and so home. Got home mid-January and took the ship round to Chatham for refit. And then after a spot of leave, I was appointed to the Oberon, which was refitting in Barrow. She is one of our oldest O-class submarines. And having got her out of Barrow, I took her round to Blyth on the Northumberland coast, which is where our submarine school was, with the object of being the training submarine for our trainees up there. Unfortunately, as we entered Blyth, there's a very sharp turn there, and one had to use the motors fairly heavily. And just as I was in the middle of this turn, the motor room told me that one of the motors had burnt out. We negotiated the rest of the journey in and berthed in Blyth. And then after a survey, they said, well, there's nothing that can be done. The only thing to do is to scrap her. The submarine was gutted of anything that was useful or worth having, and we were then ignominiously towed down to Newcastle to a scrapyard. So that was the end of Oberon. I was then transferred to the training staff in the submarine school at Blyth, where I stayed from about June to November, when I was appointed to the Tireless, which is building here in Portsmouth. And I joined her mid-November with a completion date at that time of mid-December. Well, I'm afraid to say that with delays for one reason or another, we didn't get her out of here until May. And we sailed up to Holyloch again to do our workup, where all the workups were carried out. And at the end of the workup, beginning of August, we were just having our final leave before going off to the Far East to fight the Japs, when VJ Day came along. And we hoped perhaps we weren't going to be sent out, as I only recently got married. But of course we had to go out there, and we sailed off for the Far East in at the end of August. And that really, I think, covers the war.